And how often that can be the case when it comes to our Christian lives, our heart is not in it. Often we can find that in our place of Bible study, that when we come to the Word of God, our heart is not in it. And we come and we read, we have to do it, we want to tick the box, we've read our Bible today, but our heart isn't in it. And dear believer, you should never approach the Word of God that way. It has to be done in order for me to go on with my day. It has to be done because I have to maintain my relationship with God. It's not about doing the Bible study. It's not about doing the Bible reading. It's doing it with that right attitude and that right heart that God would speak to your soul.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Peace to my soul.
and welcome to our program today. We're delighted that you've taken time to listen to us, whether you're at home or in the car. And we thank you for tuning in, and we trust that the ministry of God's Word through Let the Bible Speak Today will indeed be a rich blessing to your soul. We are going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the sermon entitled, How You Can Be a Godly Influence. How you can be a godly influence. On the Lord's Day that this sermon was preached, we had a baptismal service as well of a young man within our congregation. And how encouraging that was. And I was thinking all that week of what to preach on at that evening service. I'd attended a funeral of a godly man. And while I knew members of his family, I didn't personally know him. But I was left in no doubt of his godly nature, his godly character, and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in light of the baptism and this funeral service, I was thinking along those lines, how can you be a godly influence? At the end of your life, what will others say about you? Will they say, here was a godly man, a godly woman, even a godly young person, who knew the Lord, who desired to live for him, and here it is the way in which they were a great influence to me and a great influence in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be that influence in the lives of others for Christ, that we would know Christ and live for Christ. Our text is Joshua chapter 24, the verse 15, the very end of that verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We shouldn't rush through it. We shouldn't scan a few verses. Oh, this is about Joshua challenging the people of Israel. I know what the chapter's about. I can move on. We're to stop and we're to read. We're to spend time. We're to come with a sincere heart, and to serve the Lord in sincerity is to mean what you say as you worship, as you pray. It's to align your life with your public confession of faith. It is to align your private life with your public confession of faith. It's to live life and not be a hypocrite. To live life and not be a hypocrite. If I brought you to my home this evening and you came in and you looked and thought, well, Pastor, your house really is just made of Lego on the inside. You said it wasn't. But I don't see anything. I don't even see your toaster or your fridge because of all the Lego. You didn't quite tell the truth in the pulpit tonight. Well, that's a problem. Because what we say is to be the truth. And as we live for Christ, as we publicly confess Christ, our private life is to support that. Nobody may see it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the God of heaven. Nobody may see our private lives and the depths of our private lives, but our private life is to align with our confession of faith. We're not public Christians and private, whatever we want to be. The Lord is to be served constantly in sincerity and in truth, in the public eye or not. And we're to obey Him in love. We're to obey Him in love. One of the Puritans spoke of the hypocrite being like a sponge. The sponge is full of water while it's under the tap. But when it's removed, it dries up. But the sincere man, the man whom the Christian ought to be, like a spring, he flows because there is life within, abundant life, the life of Christ. And serving God in sincerity and in truth, it means serving God according to His Word, obeying the Word of God. If you desire to be a godly influence, then you need to hear the Word of God, you need to obey the Word of God, you need to live according to the Word of God. To serve God in truth is to serve Him in the way He has appointed. Truth guards us from traditions and cultural conformity and religious show and hypocrisy. It keeps us sincere. Israel had the challenge set before them to serve idols or to serve the Lord. But the one who loves truth, the one who has a sincere heart, cannot tolerate error or idolatry, will not serve two masters, but will be focused upon the Lord. And God demands exclusive service. What does Joshua say? Put away the gods which your fathers served. Get them away from you. Put them to the side and serve the God of heaven, the Savior. As one old preacher said, will not share the throne of your heart. He will have all or none of it. And so, dear believer, tonight, what of you? Are you sincere as you serve the Lord? Thirdly, I want you to see that we are to obey the instruction of the Lord. If you desire to be a godly influence in life, you are to obey the Lord. Obedience is something that is vital. Notice what Joshua says in the verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is saying, I've made my choice. I've made my decision. I've made it years ago, and I'm holding fast by it. Me and my house, for as long as I live, we are determined that we will serve the God of heaven. And that means we will obey Him, and we will submit to Him, and our will and our desires will align with God. We'll reject this world. We'll reject its sin. We'll reject that which is acceptable in society, but not according to God. And our obedience is sustained by the fear and love of God. If we truly, dear believer, if you truly love the God of heaven, you'll submit to His commandments. You'll obey Him. You'll live for Him. You'll live for Him. Obedience is a fruit of faith. One of the signs that you are a believer is that of obedience to the instruction of God. And how can you be a godly influence? You need to be instructed, and you need to obey that instruction. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And that brings us into our fourth thought. Determine to wholly follow the Lord. This is what Joshua is saying here. Make that decision. I've made that decision. What about you? What about you? Dear believer, tonight, have you determined to wholly follow the Lord? Maybe you have, and maybe you've fallen short. Maybe there's been discouragements. Maybe there's been the busyness of life. Maybe various things have come up, and your eye that is fixed upon God is not where it ought to be. Well, that you would go back and determine afresh through the help of God to wholly follow Him. It is a deliberate determination. And Joshua resolved here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This isn't a casual remark. This is not Joshua going along with the language of the church. So often we can do that. We know what the language of the church is. Someone says, well, I'm struggling with this particular trial. Well, brother, sister, I'll pray for you. Or you'll encourage. Or you'll say, look to the Lord. The Lord meets our needs. There's a language that we use as the people of God. We love the Lord. We serve Him. That's the language we use. But Joshua isn't using this language casually. He's using it sincerely. He's saying, I will wholly follow the God of heaven. I've made that choice. I've made that decision. When you look upon me, whatever I may be doing, I am serving the God of heaven. And as a result of that, I am being a godly influence in society. To wholly follow the Lord means there's no divided loyalties. There's no compromises. There's no toleration of sins, little sins or big sins. There's no partial allegiance to the Lord, but there is full allegiance to the Lord. And there's a desire here by Joshua. It's not just about him, it's about his house. He's the one who is going to lead and be the godly influence within his house. What about you tonight? Do you desire to lead your house, to be a godly influence within that home for the Lord? Joshua said, "This is my resolve. This is my resolve for my house." He resolved himself to follow the Lord. He resolved that his house would follow the Lord. He set the example personally. He set the example in his home. And now he's turning to the nation and he's setting the example before them to do the same. And he could only do so because he did it personally and he did it in his home. And that's important. There's a connection there with what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 about elders leading in their home, being a godly influence within their home. As for me and my house, and those qualifications for elders, as we considered some time ago, it's not just for you to go home from a congregational meeting thinking, "Oh, I'm now an elder. I have to sort my house out. It's a mess." And we're not talking about furniture everywhere and all sorts. We're talking about family life. We're talking about how you do things as a family. We're talking about leadership and biblical influence in the family. My family's a mess. What am I going to do? It should already be like that. Scripturally speaking, biblically, there already should be a godly influence. And therefore, all Christians, all homes should have that godly influence. It's not the result of being called to office in the church. It's already there. There's a calling to office because it's been noticed and it's been seen. And because there's leadership and a godly influence personally and in the home, that moves then to the church. And we see Joshua here, he's got himself right. He's got his house right. And now he's been an example to the nation to wholly follow the Lord. If you desire to be a godly influence, make sure that you personally are right with God. You know Him as your Savior. You're redeemed. You're saved. You're desiring the Spirit of God to lead you and to sanctify you. That you would then be a godly influence yourself. That that would extend to your family. That that would extend to the church, to society. That God would indeed bless that. And then finally, I want you to see that to be a godly influence, you are to reject all thoughts to forsake the Lord. To reject all thoughts to forsake the Lord. You see, Satan will desire to sift you like wheat. Satan will desire to take your eyes off the God of heaven. And Joshua warns about forsaking the Lord in verse 20. He warns that the Lord will judge them and the people declare and say that they will serve the living and true God of heaven. But to be a godly influence, we are not to forsake the Lord. As the devil sows those seeds within our hearts, we are to fight against it. We are to stand against it. Forsaking the Lord doesn't happen suddenly. It doesn't happen suddenly. You're not going to wake up in the morning and find that a devoted Christian has suddenly forsaken the Lord. They went from praying in the prayer meeting on Sunday evening to living like the world on Monday morning. It begins subtly. There's a prayer life that's neglected. There's personal convictions and biblical convictions that are set aside. There's a divided heart that then would tolerate idolatry and tolerate sin coming in. And as these thoughts come in and the neglect of personal time with God, what happens? There's a gradual forsaking of God. C.H. Spurgeon made the remark, and to paraphrase, to say a summary of it, that backsliding starts with forsaking prayer. Turning away from God, forsaking God, commences with forsaking the place of prayer. And that can happen easily. And it can continue and continue and continue. It can happen with the church prayer meeting. It can happen personally. And suddenly, there's been no prayer. There's been no study of God's Word. There's a heart that is growing cold. And that heart is now susceptible to all the influences of society and of the world and of Satan. The book of Proverbs tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Dear believer, if you desire to be a godly influence, one of the things that you need to be a godly influence about is encouraging other believers not to forsake the Lord. And therefore, you need to conquer that matter yourself in your own heart. You need to think of the mercy that forgave your sins, the grace that sustained you, the presence of God that walks with you day by day and in the valleys and mountains of life. You're to remind yourself of the promises that assure you of eternity. And when the world pulls you, cling to Christ. When the trials press down hard upon your soul, trust His promises. When your heart grows cold, desire that the Lord would give you that flame of devotion again, that your eyes would be upon Him. That when the temptations come, you would cry out, God forbid that I would forsake my Savior. When the idol comes, you cry out, get behind me. When the Lord comes and it is time to worship Him, your cry is, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And when the time of your life comes to a close, you can say, like Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. Oh, that we would be a people that forsake falling into sin. That we would forsake turning our eyes off our Savior. How are you to be a godly influence? You're to fear the Lord by rejecting idols. You're to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. You're to obey the instruction of the Lord. You're to determine to wholly follow the Lord. You're to reject all thoughts to forsake the Lord. Know His help. Know the presence of His Spirit. That you would indeed be a godly influence in society. And so the question comes, the challenge comes from Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Maybe you're here tonight outside of Christ. That question comes to you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the world? Will you serve Satan? Will you serve self? Or will you serve the living and true God of heaven? Will you cry out like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening for His name's sake. Amen. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Psalm 111, verse 9. He hath commanded His covenant forever. The Lord's people delight in the covenant itself. It is an unfailing source of consolation to them, so often as the Holy Spirit leads them into its banqueting house and waves its banner of love. They delight to contemplate the antiquity of that covenant, remembering that before the day star knew its place, or planets ran their round, the interests of the saints were made secure in Christ Jesus. It is peculiarly pleasing to them to remember the sureness of the covenant while meditating upon the sure mercies of David. They delight to celebrate it as signed and sealed and ratified in all things ordered well. It often makes their hearts dilate with joy to think of its immutability as a covenant which neither time nor eternity nor life, nor death shall ever be able to violate,
a covenant as old as eternity and as everlasting as the rock of ages. They rejoice also to feast upon the fullness of this covenant, for they see in it all things provided for them. God is their portion, Christ their companion, the Spirit their comforter, earth their lodge, and heaven their home. They see in it an inheritance reserved and entailed to every soul possessing an interest in its ancient and eternal deed of gift. Their eyes sparkled when they saw it as a treasure trove in the Bible, but oh, how their souls were gladdened when they saw in the last will and testament of their divine kinsman that it was bequeathed to them. More especially, it is the pleasure of God's people to contemplate the graciousness of this covenant. They see that the law was made void because it was a covenant of works and depended upon merit, but this they perceive to be enduring because grace is the basis, grace the condition, grace the stream, grace the bulwark, grace the foundation, grace the top stone. The covenant is a treasury of wealth, a granary of food, a fountain of life, a storehouse of salvation, a charter of peace, and a haven of joy. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that you will join us again here on this station on Let the Bible Speak.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.